We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WynnBET. If you can bet on sports in your locality, please do so at WynnBET Sports, WynnBET.com. My guest today is Simone Dice. Simone, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it's an honor, Jeff. Man, I've been following you forever since the AOL days. Oh, I don't even know.
Awesome. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
Well, I saw on Twitter you and I had significant birthdays in the last month. You hit 40, I just hit 50. So, yeah. we're kind of getting into this here a little bit there. I like it. I played TGFBI, not in TGFBI, in RAS-Slam with you, and I know you play TGFBI as well. Your Twitter handle is on Rowan Baseball, HONRON Baseball. Where else can people find you?
That's pretty much it. Homegrown Baseball for right now. Twitter. I'm basically right now, I'm a friend of the family of the baseball industry. I'm just a personality, like a super fan, hybrid analyst, like a Kike Hernandez. I just love baseball. And I just follow baseball on Twitter. I mean, that's where I get my news and stuff. So it's real fast and efficient.
Yeah, and I've seen you do a bunch of live streams on YouTube. Watch games and talk about them, and talk some stats on. You go over to Baseball Savant and take a look at some of the scoreboards going on there. I like it. Some good stuff there as well. A lot of stuff going on. Let's jump into it here.
Yeah,
Adelis Garcia hit two more homers yesterday. This is a great story. Guy came out of nowhere. Another former Cardinals outfielder.
St. Louis Cardinal.
Yep.
I'm keeping an eye on Garcia. I mean, he, like you say, he came out of nowhere. He has 20 home runs. I looked at his Fangraphs. The only thing I'm worried about is his approach, his walk to K ratio is, I think, 0.14%. His chase rate and Statcast is at 4th percentile. So to me, I mean, I love Adolis Garcia, 40 home runs they play, and then, fantasy league. But to me, he's more like a 2016 Crush Davis. So for next year, I'm putting him around, like the Kyle Schwarber type area for next year. He has a lot of power, but, just the approach kind of scares me.
Yeah, I hear you on that. 11 walks, 78 Ks, but man, this is found money though. This is great. I love seeing guys like this come out of nowhere.
Me too.
Especially because, he's actually in 2019, he had 32 homers at Memphis. You're like, okay, we can do it. But at the same time, he struck out 159 times. I guess this is just what you get with him.
Yeah. And I guess that's what you get with baseball too. A lot of swings and misses and a lot of home runs, but he's exciting. He has a lot of pop and, it's something to cheer about there in Arlington.
Yeah. I know it's Wander Franco week and I'm excited and pumped about that, but Garcia should be the rookie of the year, at least as long as he doesn't completely fade off. I mean, he's got such a big head start.
We'll see how he does the second, third time around the facing the pitchers, you know?
Right. So. Exactly. Talking about, so much swing and miss in baseball, so, you know, and whether, you know, there's all the launch angle revolution, you know, baseball's trying, you know, change the ball this year. And, then they're changing the pitchers now. What's your reaction to all this? Like, as just someone who enjoys watching the game, how do you like how they're cracking down on the pitchers now? How'd you like them messing around with the ball at the beginning of the season?
The cracking of the pitcher right now, I'm not really feeling it. I don't know. It feels kind of WWE. And then, you know, just Manfred with his sticky stuff. It's like, can you explain, like, you know, what the sticky stuff is? You know, like, we saw Tyler Glass now. We see Trevor Bauer with the rust and the sweat and the mm-hmm. sunscreen. So we need an answer, like, what exactly the sticky stuff is. But yeah, I'm just looking for an even playing field.
Right.
So yeah, it's
the Scherzer thing the other day was pretty wild. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that. His spin rate's a little bit down, but I mean, three times Max Scherzer just messes the flow of the game. You know?
Right. Yeah, they spend all this time talking about how baseball's too slow. And let's go inspect every pitcher. Yeah, because that's going to help things a little bit there. Baseball just Manfred and baseball, I just think they do such a lousy job of marketing the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's it right there. I mean, just a bad job of marketing. I mean, baseball, I feel like the last 30, 40 years is falling way behind football and basketball. Definitely a marketing change there needs to happen. I mean, it's our pastime, you know, baseball. We got to get more kids playing and stuff, more excited about playing baseball and stuff. And I don't know if this is it.
And the thing is, we got so many like great young players to market the game around. You got Acuna, you got Tatis.
Wander Franco, the first player born in 2001. I mean, that's incredible. My daughter was born 2002. So I'm just like mind blown, you know?
Yeah, totally. I'm a little bit, just a couple of years behind you. I got a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old, so I'm not too far behind on that. But
yeah, I mean, I got a 19 and 17-year-old.
Yeah.
So
awesome. Yeah, and my girls do love the Dodgers.
Sweet.
Yeah, because we're both
Cincinnati
LA area.
Reds fan, right?
Yes, I am. In fact, got it going on today.
Sweet. Yeah. But you know, when you play baseball, you have like favorite teams all over. And I got to tell you, the Natty, Cincinnati is one of my favorite teams because, you know, growing up, 88 Dodgers and then Oakland and then the Nasty Boys. I was a big fan of the Nasty Boys growing up in Little League. I played with the Cincinnati Reds and just great memories with the Reds. So I always root for the Reds. I always come out to Dodger Stadium when they come out to Dodger Stadium.
Nice. You know, I kind of grew up hating the Dodgers because I was a Reds fan. And, you know, back in the day, it was Reds, Dodgers, and the NL West. Yes. They're in the same division. So,
I remember when the Braves were in our division, I think. Yeah.
That's right. Braves were in the West.
A long time ago.
Remember that one year it was Atlanta versus San Francisco, like 103 and 102 wins, and only one team made the playoffs. That's what, you know, kind of prompted them to change everything. But, but now I live out here, and the Dodgers have been pretty good. So my girls, they want to root for the same team as their classmates, basically. So I can't hate on the Dodgers anymore. I don't think I'll ever be converted to being a fan. I was so ticked off when I couldn't watch them on DirecTV for 6 years. I missed out on so many good years.
Same thing. I didn't watch for 8 years. Only LeBron made me get Spectrum.
get
the package, Dodgers and Lakers.
There you go.
So yeah, I didn't watch the Dodgers for 6-8 years.
Wow. So I like the players at the very least. I may still hate the owners, but that's okay.
I like the system. I mean, Chris Taylor and just bringing up all these McKinstry and just finding guys out of nowhere. You know, I love that. You know, just striking goal.
Yeah, exactly. Now they just had a tough series against the Padres. A great, you know, three great games again. Every Padres Dodgers game, I'm riveted. I love watching this series, but tough series for the Dodgers.
Yeah, tough series for the Dodgers. San Diego, man. They're young, exciting, great city, beautiful city, and it's going to be a three-team race to the end of the year. No one's going to really pull away. It's going to be San Francisco. I love what Farhan Saidi does. over there with the Giants. San Diego, again, a three-team race to the end. And the Dodgers, you know, they need this because they've been cruising the last 6 years. So the MLB needs this. It's going to be a fun, exciting last couple months here in the NL West. I'm pumped.
Yeah, I am too. Manny Machado was awesome yesterday. Diving on the warning track in right field and playing third base. He's all over the place there, making plays.
Yeah, he gets a little amped up when he plays the Dodgers too.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Well, yeah. The funny thing is, you know, I thought he kind of caught, you know, a little bit of an unfair shake when his brief time with the Dodgers. You know, there is a couple of plays where his hammy was hurting, didn't run out a couple of ground balls and everything. Uh-huh. Yep. And people don't let him forget that.
Yeah, I think he still leads by example in other ways. So, I mean, people won't let that go. They won't let go Astros and, you know. The Dodger fans, they don't let go of too many things. But, I mean, Dodger fans, be excited about your team and just, you know, just keep supporting. And hopefully, you know, they keep winning.
I haven't been to any games yet. Have you been this year?
No, I don't think I'm going to go this year. I'm just going to watch on screen TV, hopefully next year. I might go this year. I still need one more shot to get ready to go Dodger Stadium. So yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm going to probably go at some point this summer. It's just,
okay.
But I haven't made it yet. I really haven't, I miss going to a game.
Yeah. It's tough when you taking the family. I mean, before it used to be $6. You used to, you know, right. I'm going 10 games this month, but now, you know, parking is like $30-$40, so
right.
And taking a whole family, it's real expensive. So
real quick,
Dodger Stadium, right.
Yeah, I agree. Astros, they keep continuing to rake it. Won 13-0 yesterday. Their Urquidy looked good. Everybody's hitting. Jose Altuve is a man on a mission right now. You look at his power that he's coming. It's like 2019 plus almost. I'm really impressed with what they've been able to do. And they've kind of been able to block out the noise. I think Dusty Baker's done a hell of a job with this team.
Oh, Dusty, he is he's like a player's manager, you know? So you just feel comfortable around Dusty Baker. Man, Astros, 10-0 the last 10. They beat Boston. You go through that lineup, you got Altuve, you got Correa, Bregman, and Jordan. I'm not even mentioning Brantley, Kyle Tucker, Gurriel. They got a pretty stacked lineup. Zach Greinke, he leads by example. Framber, he's back. So they got a smart front office. So Houston is a major player this year.
We all forgot
about him.
Yeah, and, you know, Bregman gets hurt, and this kid, Abraham Toro, comes in and has a homer and 4 RBI yesterday. And
just plug him in.
it's pretty amazing. And then you look at his AAA numbers, and Toro – He mows down the competition there. I mean, you look at what he's done. It's just every time he's gotten the majors, he hasn't done that well. But he also hasn't had that long extended shot. And I guess he's going to get a month here with Bregman out.
Okay. We'll see. I think,
he's another guy.
Astros looking good. Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
What do you think about that AL West? You think Oakland can keep it close or Houston's going to run around away with it?
I think Houston will pull away. I'd like to see it close because I think Oakland's pretty good. But I think it's just their machine. And every time they meet up head to head, you know, Houston kind of raises their game another level, it seems like. My podcast partner just got Jensat on Sunday nights. He's a big Oakland guy. So I've kind of become I've grown an affinity for them a little bit too. It's fun. I mean, the thing is, like last night, you know, they couldn't hold on against Texas. You know, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. We were talking Garcia earlier, but, Oakland, they're just missing that one guy, it feels like to me.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little about the Mets. Michael Conforto returned yesterday. They're starting to get guys back. Lindor finally homered.
Yeah.
Lindor
starting to look good. Terrible. First place, they got their number three hitter back. They got the GOAT, Jacob the GOAT.
Yep.
So far, you know, Michael Conforto, two home runs, 148 B. So we'll see, you know, health. Sometimes he's healthy, but when Michael Conforto, he's a professional hitter, you know, his approach is going to be their number three. He's only going to help the Mets or just even pad that lead there.
Yeah, that's right.
Mets looking good.
They are. I know. I saw a comment from you on Twitter. Zach Roto was asking you about next year a little bit there. You're saying you probably aren't going to go after DeGrom next year. Did I read that right?
Yeah. This year, you know, like every year I sit down in January, I take the 700 from NFBC and I make my own rankings. And this year, definitely, you know, my strategy, first round DeGrom or Cole, if I can get them. And I got lucky. Most of my picks were number one or number two this year. Nice. So I got DeGrom and Cole. But I feel there's always these, you know, pitchers that pop up out of anywhere. You know, if you do your homework, you can grab these, you know, Freddy Peraltas and, you know, these other pitchers like the Gosmans and stuff like that. And I think, I think this year I'm a little low on offense. So I think I wouldn't take a DeGrom or a Cole next year in 2022. Just I think I'll go a little bit more offense because I think the pitching pitchers always pop up.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, this year was a different strategy. It kind of has worked. I'm mostly like, you know, middle tier 10th so far in my leagues, but that's mostly due to a lot of injuries. But I think I'll switch it up next year, go hitting. Who knows?
Well, you did that in wrestling. You know, that's a different type of league. Yeah, points league. You're doing a lot better than me than that league right now. And you loaded up on hitters. I tried to, but I didn't have the dedication to the plan like you did. I think you went like 12 or 13 10. Hitters.
Yeah, 10 or 12 hitters. And to be honest, this is my first points league in 15 years. I used to play budget CDM
back
in the day. So this is my I've only been playing in 15 teams roto. That's what I love, roto, 15 teams. So this is my first year. So I reached out to Vlad Seller, asked him who's the best points person, and he told me Derek Rhodes. And I hit him up, and I used this Google Sheet, and it was amazing. It was visually nice, and you can tell that the hitters were a lot more valuable than the pitchers, and the pitchers kind of were like at a Pedro Stacio replacement level. So I waited on pitchers, and I grabbed actually 18 of them at the end.
Wow.
So you know, one of these pitchers are gonna hit, you know. Jeff Weaver hits once in a while, so I only got to hit 50% of the time if I got like 18 pitchers. So just a strategy on the fly as soon as we started drafting for wrestling.
Yeah. You mentioned Derek Rhodes, and you can follow him on Twitter at DRHOA3. And he does a lot of good stuff on injuries too. Good follow. I'm glad you mentioned him. So anyways, a couple other guys I want to talk about here. The Philadelphia Phillies. We talked about the whole Girardi Scherzer thing and all that, but they got some problems. Same problems as they had last year in their bullpen. Hector Neris blew one yesterday, but and there were problems with a lot of people in that game yesterday. 13-12 was the final. It was like 5-0. Then 7-5 Nats. And then it was 9-7 Phillies and ended up being 13-12 Nats. Wild, crazy game.
Yeah, Hector Neris, 3 blown saves in the last 5 games. I think he does need to pitch in a little bit less stressful situations for a little bit. His command is off, and you know, he's not attacking hitters with his first pitch. I looked at his baseball savant in his fastball, his heat map is like right down the middle. So, I mean, I think Jose Alvarado might get a couple saves. He's had an opportunity before, so we'll see what happens with Hector there.
Yeah, I'd love to see Alvarado a little bit because, first of all, I think he's a fun pitcher to watch. I love lefties who throw gas. I'm left-handed.
Yeah, and that sinker 100 miles per hour, it's insane the way it moves.
It is.
It's a Giphy. Yeah, I love watching, like, Pitching Ninja with his Giphys, Jose Alvarado, just whew, the way it tails.
Love watching that now. And I was always the crafty lefty as a kid, though. I would be changing my arm angles when I was a 12-year-old, just like, I'm going to throw a circle change, but I have no fastball, so whatever. But it was funny. But I always loved seeing those hard-throwing lefties.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
My guest is Simone Dice. You can follow him on Honron Baseball, H-O-N-R-O-N Baseball. We are going to talk a lot of things about. We've been talking a little Razzlam. We've been talking a little bit about news of the day. One of the things you like to do, man, is play MLB The Show and collect cards. I know that's a big deal for you. I Paul Spohr, I think you know him as well. He's big in MLB The Show. You guys ever run across each other?
No, never run across each other. I stay in my lane. So I haven't reached Paul Spohr level status. So I'm kind of low key. Maybe one day we'll meet Pats or whatever. But yeah, I do love playing MLB The Show. I've been playing, baseball with Nintendo, Super Bases Loaded, Robot Baseball even, Ken Griffey Jr. So MLB The Show is, just the next game. And I feel that I want to promote MLB The Show because it's great for kids to get repetition and practicing with like pitch tunneling and also like pitch recognition. So I think it's another tool for these youngsters to use growing up that they can apply to the baseball field, especially with pitch recognition and pitch tunneling. So I think that's really underrated tool there for MLB The Show, and technology is only getting better.
Yeah, it's crazy. The technology when I was a kid versus now, it's amazing. I used to play Nintendo, or you play like there was a game in Nintendo where I'm trying. And I'm forgetting the name of it right now. I've been talking about it forever, but you used to be able to build up your team a little bit. There's like the American Dreams you could play against was their computer team. There's another one called the Ninja Black Sox. There's another one called the Lovely Ladies. You beat them and you earn points, and you can make your team stronger. And I just remember that.
Yeah, I remember playing Earl Weaver baseball too on my like Tandy computer as a kid. But MLB The Show. They have I actually started playing it so I can play Road to the Show where you create a player and make it to the major leagues. But I found a mode called Diamond Dynasty in MLB The Show. And it's very similar to fantasy baseball in real life, because basically what you're trying to do is you try and collect all the cards and you're trying to put the best team out there possible. However, these cards can get really expensive. Mike Trout, if you really wanted to buy him without earning the points, it'll cost $250, real money, not micro money, micro transactions. So,
how do you collect the cards?
The game, this is the awesome thing, and this is where I spend most of my time. The game has a stock market. So basically, if you play fantasy baseball, you kind of know the players. So when the game came out, I looked at the rosters and, they had players, not ranked correctly. They had Vladimir Guerrero as like a silver, Tyler Glasnow as a silver, Max Muncy as a silver. So what I do is in the stock market, you buy up a whole bunch of these cards, say for like 100 stubs. And then later on when they increase their stats and they become diamonds, then you sell those off and you make a profit. It's really cool. I'm telling you, I spend most of my time just playing the stock market there, and MLB The Show, trying to collect those cards.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How's the gameplay itself on MLB The Show? Is it
The gameplay is awesome. I don't play online because there's just too many things online. There's freeze offs, there's bunt cheesers, and just I don't play online, I play offline. This year we can grind the cards offline. But other than that, it plays amazingly. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I heard it's kind of hard to the actual play, like trying to actually hit on the show, on the game.
It is tough. Because you want to go out there hacking, swinging for the fences. It's a video game, but you really have to have knowledge of the game. You have to go out there with an approach. I usually take two pitches because I want to see the movement on the pitchers, and I usually try and draw a walk. So I think it's a great tool to help with approach. If you go out there swinging at the first pitch and without an approach, then yeah, it's gonna be difficult. It takes practice, but it's a lot of fun, and the game is really rewarding with packs. Everybody loves opening packs and also stubs.
Yeah. I remember collecting baseball cards as a kid, just opening packs that way, like actual physical cards and all that. And
exactly. I think that's why I like Diamond Dynasty, because the first thing I saw was the binder of the cards. And I said to myself, I want to collect all the cards. I have to figure out the puzzle, how to collect all the cards with the working the market, because these cards can get up. I mean, some of the content creators spend over thousands on launch day for, just for this game, so that they can get the cards.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Is there a pretty lively community similar to the fantasy baseball community for MLB The Show?
Yeah, pretty lively community. You get a couple, you know, back and forth, but for the most part, everybody is trying to help each other improve. Just like, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm struggling at the plate over the last week. Like, what can I do? And you actually get some really good tips, and everyone's supporting each other, trying to, you know, just create content for people to watch also.
Cool. So is that like when someone was trying to get into that, how would be the best way to get into it?
The best way to get into it, I would say, join the Diamond Dynasty, play that mode. You get a couple free packs as soon as you start the game. But what I would do is any cards that you get, just go ahead and maybe like sell them, so that you get better rewards, and just keep upgrading the cards as the cards come out. And they have practice mode where you can set up any situation you want. You can pick, you know, say, hey, you know, I want to practice against Chris Sale in a 0-2 count, and him only throwing sliders, dotting sliders. So there's many different ways that, you know, you can play. It's really cool. It's really customizable. There's different ways for anyone to play. Yeah.
Very cool. Awesome.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I'm here with Simone Dice. I'm Jeff Erickson on the RotoWire podcast, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about you. You know, how did you get into fantasy baseball in the first place? What did you, when did you start playing?
Oh, it's a crazy story. Actually, I started playing in the 90s, 1997. And I don't know if you remember White Sox pitcher John Garland.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a high school teammate of mine. We're walking to baseball practice. Mm-hmm. And he asked me a question. He asked me to rank the following shortstops. This was 97, so he asked me to rank A-Rod, Jeter, and a third name, Ray Ordóñez. So I was kind of like, I was like, wow, you put Ray Ordóñez in that group? So, and then he, you know, started telling me about fantasy baseball, and back, you know, I tried to find any leagues I could back then.
Right.
So I started late 90s.
So you were high school teammates with John Garland. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What position did you play?
I started off as a shortstop, but by my end of, because I was actually kind of small as a shortstop, and I was quick with my hands. But then I grew, and then I just moved all around outfield. I was kind of like the Kiki Hernandez by my senior year.
Okay, yeah. Very cool.
So,
did you ever play? You ever play as an adult? Play any hardball or any softball?
No, as soon as my baseball career was over, that was pretty much it. I struggled with those Michael Conforto hamstring injuries the last 2 years, and it was kind of taxing. Yeah,
that's so, not great. Yeah, I still play in a slow pitch softball league over in Cheviot Hills, west side of LA. But we haven't played in a while.
I was invited to a softball game once, and you know me thinking, you know, I played high school baseball, I'm just gonna crush softball. And I went play softball, and I think I hit 3 comebackers to the pitcher, and I don't think I ever played softball again.
Oh no,
a lot different.
It is. I play in an unlimited arc league too. So you get one of those pitchers that can just sky it. And it is.
Oh,
different.
Wow. Yeah.
But I play, I don't know if you know, do you know Brendan Ryan? Played a little for the Cardinals and the Mariners, utility infielder. But I played with his brother, and this team's been together for like 25 years. It's awesome.
Oh, wow. That's dope.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. One of the things that you said you do is you do a lot of like writing, you do a lot of producing. Tell me more about that.
Well, yeah, I do a lot of writing. I want to get into producing and creating. I just put that out there in my Twitter handle because, you know, I'm just going to speak it into assistance. Going into the third stage of my life, you know, kids going off to college. I'm going to do the things I want to do, and I actually started with fantasy baseball, trying to stream. I'm mostly interested in like engineering behind the scenes, so I'm a one-man group, so I had to get on the mic and do some baseball streaming earlier in the year. I do a lot of writing. I do want to write baseball, but it seems like I always get off track and I just write like one-off pilot scripts and stuff like that. I'm born and raised in LA, San Fernando Valley. I got a big family, got a lot of friends in the business. So, you know, I know that if I put the work, then I can network with a lot of people. So that's nice. What I'm doing, just putting in the work, you know?
Yeah, that's very
and,
cool.
And getting my equipment and all set up. It's 2021. It's different time now.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. Once you think you got one thing mastered, you know, the new technology comes out, and you got to keep up with that too. Yeah. What sort of writing do you do? Do you write for like, you said you write scripts like for TV, or what do you usually write for?
No. So I worked at the bank for 20 years, and I got laid off in 2019. So this is all new to me.
Okay.
This is all new to me. I'm not a writer, not a producer, creator. This is what I want to be. And this is what I'm striving towards to, you know, the third part into my 40s here. I'm just gonna, you know, I'm hungry, and you can see by like my baseball and in January in the spring training, I'm motivated. So, I have a lot of, pilots. Nice. But I haven't really sat down because of COVID and kind of co-write with other people and create and produce. But that's going to be happening soon in the near future. Good. Just, you know, small projects and stuff like that.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. So your kids are, your oldest is going off to college. That's awesome.
She's in college. She graduated last year. And I'm so proud of her. She, in her first year of college, she took 38 credits of 38 credits of college. In her first year, she went summer, you know, fall, spring, and then she went summer again. She just got an internship as a graphic designer yesterday. So awesome. I'm really excited for her. Yeah. So 38 credits and during COVID, she was doing her work too.
Yeah, and I hear a lot of stories about that. I have a friend who sent their kid went to PCC, Pasadena City College, and just, you know, usually it's a 2-year deal. Then you can get into any UC school after that, as long as you keep a certain grade point average. And
right,
she did it in like, you know, 14 months. And because, you know, just a lot of these kids, like, they're smart. They're going to, you know, they'll get a lot of the intro level stuff done quickly. You know, if it's with COVID, might as well just take more online classes.
Yeah,
and that's what
exactly.
She did.
Yeah. So, yeah, family man.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're going to be empty nesters soon, though. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I'm getting ready to do what I like, you know. I want to work on, you know, baseball stuff and a lot of different things. Baseball is just like 5% of what Simon does on a daily.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. It'll be fun. Hey, I one thing in the news and notes mentioned that we didn't mention was Mookie Betts. He's got a stomach ailment. He had to go like back to LA, get an IV, I think. He's had a weird year where you look at what he's done so far this year, you're kind of like, he's okay, but it's not what we expected, the first round pick. I still think he's ready to have a monster second half, but I'm a little worried about his health here.
Yeah, I don't know. he changed his diet, right?
Yeah,
Mookie Betts. So. Yeah, I think he changed his diet a little bit. What's Mookie, 29, 30 years old?
Yeah, born in 92. Yep.
Yeah. I don't, you know, he's struggling right now, but Mookie Betts is a person I'm not going to worry about because he does, even if he's not producing on the field, he's doing so much off the field, helping others. So I think, you know, I think the break will help him, and I think he's going to come back fresh second half.
All right.
Ready to roll, and
Yeah.
So I'm never worried about Mookie.
Yeah, but, I grabbed him in the second chance league. I think he's gonna produce too. I'm looking forward to that. All right, well, very cool. So looking forward to the future here. All right.
Yeah.
So you want to write? You want to get into the next stage of your life in 5 years? Where are you gonna be?
In 5 years, I'm probably gonna be in the same spot. I'm pretty chill. Pretty low key. I like to. I'm pretty chill. I'm probably gonna be in the same spot. Just doing what I like, though. Yeah, that's the difference. Before, you know, I was in a cubicle for 20 years, same position, but now I have the opportunity to do what I really want. And, you know, kids are all grown up, so it's time for me to ball.
Yeah. Well, and that's the good thing is you're going to have that opportunity. I mean, they're going to be off flying on their own, and you'll be able to do what you want. And I got lucky that when we started doing this, I didn't have kids, I didn't have a mortgage, didn't have any of that there, so you know, you kind of choose to do what you want to do. So it's awesome to hear you talk about that. I like seeing it. It's really cool. I learned a lot about MLB the Show, and it's something, you know, I'm always interested in that. I haven't done it, but it's like, I think that's something I want to do some point in time, but maybe I'll wait till my kids are off at college.
I mean, just as taking you back to your childhood, like you said, card collector, when you first got that first card set, you know, you can recapture that feeling in the game without you, even if you don't have time to play the game itself, you can still enjoy it, collecting cards and working on collections and stuff like that. It's a very underrated part of the game.
Yeah, it is. I remember collecting cards, like when I played Little League, they'd give you a ticket afterward. You could take that to the concession stand, get yourself one treat, or you could get a pack of baseball cards. I'd always get the pack of baseball cards.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
My brother and I started building a collection together there. It was just pretty cool. We used to ride our bikes to go buy baseball cards. They used to sell them at the grocery store, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have the baseball card shops anymore. You got to get them through Amazon. But actually here in the Valley, they got a couple. I still do ride my bikes and just go check out. Yeah. Yeah,
nice.
I love riding my bike.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got into bike riding. You know, there's a lot of good paths too. And so, like, I'll take, like, there's one you can take all the way down to Seal Beach. I've done that a couple of times. It's pretty cool. And I live in Monrovia, which is near Pasadena, and so we just take that straight down. And it's pretty cool that all these paid paths. And during the pandemic, that was one of the things we could do. It was safe.
Yeah,
you could go outside. Exactly. You were fine. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like riding, going through the whole San Fernando Valley, ending up at Golden Road Brewery, having a beer, watching a baseball game. And, you know, Dodger Stadium is like, what, like 5 minutes away from there. So
nice.
It's cool.
Yeah. That's very cool. Well, hey, I wanted to thank you so much for jumping on with me and joining me today. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, no. Wow, what an honor. Like I said, when I first started looking for help in fantasy baseball, you're the first name I found, Jeff Erickson, you're still doing it big. And this was an honor. I'm excited to be playing in a league with you, RasSlam. And thank you so much for the opportunity. Yeah,
you bet. You're welcome. Glad you could do it. That's going to conclude today's pod. Thanks to WinBet for sponsoring us. Tomorrow we got two start starters with Clay and Todd Zola. Thanks again for listening. Have yourself a great day.
Thank you.